You're listening to the Closing Market Report for the 7th day of October 2013. I'm Todd Gleason. On the phone line with us to take a look at the futures markets, as usual, from Normal, Illinois and Bates Commodities, is Kurt Kimmel. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Another week, the government is shut down, and trade still managed to happen in Chicago for the day, didn't it?
Yeah, life does go on, I guess, but traders are kind of hands in pocket. It's like electricity. You don't realize you use it until it's not there. And so everybody's got kind of a cautious attitude. I imagine this so-called shutdown probably puts the pressure on the buyer more than anything from the standpoint. When you look at the players, who's doing what, you've got the producer who's a primary seller, and producers kind of in the mindset right now that, if I haven't sold it now, there's no need to sell it, and I can, put in storage, and I still got, crop insurance or hedges on to protect my downside here. And so unless the market really, bumps up here or there's a strong cash bid, I think the producer wants to try to hang on here for a while. Whereas the buyer, on the other hand, we came into this fall fairly well empty, and I think the pressure's on him to get some coverage on, and having to rely on the private source to determine where we are if harvest progress is put a little bit more pressure on wanting to give a little bit more coverage on, because the last thing a buyer wants to do is wake up, have the government come back to work, and all of a sudden we're 75% harvested and he doesn't have his coverage on, and that would be pretty well disaster for him. So I think the buyers are under the gun in through here, especially with the trade talk that China was in, buying anywhere from 800,000 up to 1 million metric tons of U.S. corn here. So that's why we're seeing kind of the strength we're seeing. Also on the wheat side, we're seeing a little bit of weather concerns in Russia, Black Sea region. And so initially that was the fundamental catalyst to have the funds unwind some short positions here. They were heavily short corn, unwind the spread. Early in the session we saw a lot of the selling the bean, buying corn, selling the beans, and buying the wheat. So it's more of a positioning thing in here. Active volume for the day. There's a fair amount of volume, but I imagine we're probably done here for the week unless some other news comes forward here, Todd.
Yeah, so when you talk about the Chinese bean in the market, normally we would have a couple of reports that would deal with that, but those won't happen this week, right?
Hey, correct. The daily sales reporting catches the sales on a daily basis. Of course, we have the weekly export sales report on Thursdays, and of course, we have the shipments report on Monday afternoon to give us an idea of how much we've shipped there too. So now, this Chinese is they're expected to purchase anywhere from 2.5 to 3.5 million metric tons on the marketing year. So this isn't a shocker. It's just that there's supposedly rumors now that they're coming forward here and trying to get some coverage on before we get harvest wrapped up and see the seasonal tendency to move higher.
Did we get any numbers for the crop progress? It won't come out this afternoon, but the trade probably released something or not.
Yeah, there's all kinds of ideas. It varies widely throughout the countryside here, but ideas are that we've got the corn harvest anywhere from 19 to 21% complete, and this bean harvest anywhere from 20 to 22% complete as a nation. And we expect a big jump in bean harvest activity here this week as driving through the countryside. There's a lot of beans ready to go as soon as the weather's fit for them to get in cut again.
And then, of course, Friday, the United States Department of Agriculture was supposed to release both the WASDE, or World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates, and the crop production reports. But today there was word from USDA, despite the fact that the government has furloughed many people. The communications folks are not among them, or at least not all of them, that those reports will not be released this Friday, whether or not the government happens to go back to work. So no WASDE and no crop production reports on Friday. That didn't keep the numbers from coming out. And there are some reports about what people think crop size and carryouts and all those sorts of things are like.
Yeah, and today's your lucky day. We're working, and we got the numbers for you here, Todd. Corn production expected to be about 13.837. That's just a little bit below September 13.843. The yield is expected to be 157 versus 155.3. So if the higher yield odds are that they're looking at a little lower harvested acreage number. On the bean side of the equation, they're looking for bean production to be about 3.161 versus 3.149. It's a little higher than last month, and the yield's expected to go up almost half a bushel at 41.6 versus 41.2. So that's kind of what the averages are from the private sector as of this week.
All right. Now let's talk about what producers ought to be doing. Most, I think, are looking at the marketplace, as you said earlier, and saying, well, we're just going to store the corn. And is that the right thing to do, is the question at hand?
Well, it depends on one situation. When you look at, on-farm storage and a little bit of carry in the marketplace, there's nothing wrong with storing and putting the hedge on or some type of price floor. See what happens here. We feel basis will improve going into this winter. The thing is, if you're paying commercial storage, when you look at shrink and cost of storage, you know, if you can get a good bid, let her move and, you know, do a little bit of replacement. So there is real no right answer. It just depends on your own personal situation on that. You know, there's a lot of moving targets there. But we feel basis will strengthen going into the middle of December. So there is some warrant, you know, and on-farm storage may hang on here for a little while, Todd.
Same for soybeans, or are you more of a seller?
Well, I think the premiums, the market wants the beans up front here. We've been a little bit more aggressive on moving the beans, getting the money, replacing ownership on paper. The thing is, as you look at the marketplace and what's offering, quite obvious once we get past January, February, into that March time window, the trade strongly feels that the Asian market will focus on the Southern Hemisphere, and that's why the U.S. market kind of drops off when you compare the prices between now and next summer.
And expectations for the livestock market?
Well, kind of no man's land here. I guess of all the data that we kind of accumulate here is really hurting us more in the livestock sector.
Absolutely.
Than anything on cutouts and so forth. So I think the ag side equation, the livestock guys misses the daily reports more than anything right there. But kind of looks like this October contract's going to be cut between this 129, 124 area at a discount. There's quite a bit of premium built in as we move out forward through here. Trade's quite optimistic as we go in the spring with these April fats trading 135, Todd.
Okay, thanks so much.
All right, take care.
Mm-hmm. That is Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Joins us here on the Monday edition of the Closing Market Report.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. For over 96 years, generations of farmers have turned to Farm Credit for their financial needs. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit offers products and service geared specifically to the agricultural community.
You're listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report. You can find us online at willag.org. That's WILLAG.org.